brought to our attention, it's most assuredly true and hard to minister and be forgiving and merciful to people when we ourselves in that situation would want that. It's hard because it's messy and it hurts and people are sometimes unreliable, and but I'm not that way, aren't you? And I work with in construction and buildings, and I figured out a long time ago that I like that because, you know, if you put a piece of sheetrock on the wall and you come back the next day, that sheetrock's not going to be turned around backwards. It's going to be the way you put it up there on the wall. Sheetrock has no ability to turn around backwards and get all messed up, and now you got to turn it back around again. You know, but people are like that.
Amen.
People will tell you one thing one day and tell you something else the next day. Or people, so one day will sincerely mean something, and then the next day do something completely contrary to what they sincerely meant the day before. That's how people are. I'm glad I'm not that way, aren't you? Yeah. Mm. You know I'm kidding. This afternoon, I want to talk about some of the same things Brother Craig talked about. I'd even use the example here given in the Scripture, Matthew chapter 9, but also kind of extend on what I said this morning. And this morning I talked about these four spiritual states, and talked about three of them and stopped before I got to one. And one is the uncomfortable one. It's a spiritual condition where a person has just gone to sleep. Or sometimes the Bible refers to it as being blind. In Matthew chapter 9, right here where Brother Craig was, there were some people who were offended at the folks that Christ was around. You ever felt like that? You know, like somebody wasn't dressed nice enough to be in the house of God, or didn't talk a certain way? I'm not talking about cussing a blue streak. I mean, that had to be dealt with. But, you know, we all have different ways of speaking and dressing. If Christ were here today and you wanted to see him, you wouldn't find him in the White House.
No.
Governor's mansion.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go someplace where sinners were gathered. Because here Christ says, as Brother Craig pointed out, that he came to those that are sick. And the problem was that the people who were all bent out of shape where Christ was, wasn't that they weren't sick, it was their perception. See, they were blind.
They were blind.
Right.
They thought they were whole and well. And here the Lord is saying, here around Christ were some people who at least were honest.
Mm-hmm.
That they knew.
Amen.
They were messed up.
That's right.
And they weren't pretending to not be messed up. And Christ is here pointing out the people who pretend to not be messed up are doing just that. They're just pretending to not be messed up, and they're blind. So you find that there can be a person who is depraved. Everybody's like that. Everybody's lived in that state at some point, and then God moves them to the state of regeneration. And then at some point, if it's by God's grace, He grants them to be converted in Christ, and they become a believer in Christ. You might think, well, that's it. That's the last place. That's the last state in which you could live, but it's actually not. Now, I want to just say all this afternoon, not to scare anybody or to make you afraid of something necessarily. But we ought to be aware and really afraid of what we, if left to our own devices, might do. I know that's not kind of a long-winded way to say what I'm trying to say in this way. Is that if you live in the kingdom, and you receive that blessing, God's given that to you. You got something very valuable. You may not regard it as valuable because you may have had it all your life, and to you it just seems normal. Everybody's got this, or I'll always have this because this is the way things have always been. That's not true. God has given you to be in the kingdom. He's given you something, as I said this morning. He doesn't give to everybody, not even all His elect. And He's given that to you. And he expects us to do certain things to respect that gift. And you may not think it's worth a lot because you've had it all your life and you're certainly accustomed to it. You may not think it's worth a lot because if we're in the kingdom, there's not very many people in this room. By the way, that didn't bother me. That didn't bother me in the least.
No.
I'm happy to be here with you. But you may think, sometimes, hey, I thought like this when I was a kid. Hey, if there's not a lot of people there, how important could it really be? If it were really important, wouldn't we be lined up down up and down the highway? That's not true.
No.
That's not true. Sometimes people aren't pouring in the door because God hasn't shown it to everybody.
Right.
But if He showed it to you, then He's given you something very special. He's given you an understanding. Frankly, an understanding that I believe is consistent with what the Scriptures teach. And we can explain things that other people can't explain. Because of what the Bible teaches and we affirm of God's predestination and election. Those subjects may get old. You may think the Primitive Baptist preachers harp on that way too much and they ought to move on to something else. I don't know. Maybe that's true. Maybe I ought to move on to something else. But at the same time, I think those doctrines reveal the mystery of God in a way that no other way can explain the way things are. And you may think also that having this understanding is really so out there and theological, it's really of no practical use. That's also not true. If you know about depravity, you know why certain people do certain things.
Right.
You're not surprised at the seemingly continual progression of wicked things that go, things that you would have never thought about doing. You read in the headlines. If you believe in depravity, you know why that stuff's there. You know why people do that stuff. You have an explanation. That is the depraved, sinful, wicked heart of man. And not only is that maybe the worst thing you've ever read, man will do things 10 times worse than that.
You just
haven't seen it yet. That tells you something. You know why things are the way they are. Because you believe in these doctrines, this revealed mystery of God. He's given it to you. And when He gives it to you, just because there's not a lot of people here, or just because you may have had it all your life, doesn't mean that's not a very special gift.
Amen.
That He expects certain things, respect given to it, to continue. And what He expects is just honesty. To keep your eyes open, to not be blind, is really just honesty. Because if you turn with me just for a little bit, Romans chapter 11, here you're going to read about this blindness, and I'm going to be short. I'm only going to be probably an hour and 45 minutes, two hours at the most. I'm going to be short. Here in Romans chapter 11 is sort of the prototypical blindness. It's not the only place the Bible talks about blindness. But I just want to read some verses, and then I'll talk about a few things, and we'll stop. I'm going to start in verse 8. This chapter is very, very deep. And I have a particular view of what it's talking about. But I don't want to go into all that because it detracts from just the spiritual state of blindness, which is what I wanted to talk about this morning. I'm talking about verse 8. Start there. It says, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. God's given that. And David saith, here's a quotation, Scripture, Psalm 69, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. That at least tells you that these people who are here described as being asleep or being blind, that these people are in fact elect of God. That they're people that the kingdom of God has gone to the Gentiles because this spirit of slumber, God has given them this spirit of slumber. And the kingdom of God wouldn't go from one group of people to another group of people unless that first group of people were the elect of God. Can't be any other way than that. And so this people who are asleep, God's given them a spirit of slumber or their blindness, They're elect of God. They're elect of God who, in fact, were recipients of the visible kingdom, because the kingdom was going from them to the Gentiles. I would put these people not in the state of depravity, not even in the state of election. They were surely there. I would put them in the state of conversion. If they had the kingdom. Now, that's the Old Testament kingdom, which is different, like Brother Craig told us. It's more than a different testament. But still, that was God's visible presence in a nation on the earth. And they had that. And now that, here this scripture says, this is going away from them to another people. I say all that to say, the people who are currently described as being asleep, people who had the kingdom. Now that means this slumber could also come to us. To me, to you, to any of us. I would like to stand before you today and say, regarding the spirit of slumber and eyes that they should not see, I would like to stand before you this morning and say, sad old Jews couldn't do what they were supposed to, and that's what happened. God gave them blindness. They couldn't see what they could see before. I'd like to stand here and say that would make me feel better. But if I were doing that, if I did that, I'd be trying to be something I'm not. I'd try to be somebody who could look upon the Jews and condemn them for their actions when, truthfully, if you just jump forward a few verses, I mean, this theme goes on in the next few verses. I don't want to skip some context, but I do want to say that if you just simply go to verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear.
That's right.
The Bible tells me to be afraid that what happened to them could happen to Mark.
Amen.
The disciple of Christ in 2018.
Amen.
That I could be blind. If you kind of follow me back through the progression of states, you're in the state of depravity. Everybody's in that. And God, some portion of people in depravity, all of humanity, God moves by His sovereignty into the state of regeneration. And then even some portion of those people, God moves into the state of conversion. That's not the final state that a person can live in. I hope that it is for you, but that's not. You can actually go on to another state, a state of a person converted and blinded. That's what being said here. Here is the church at Rome. Disciples of Christ made a profession of faith, have been baptized, and now the apostle is saying to them, be very careful. Respect the gift that God has given to you. Don't disregard it.
Right.
Because if you do, you just go to sleep. To move from state to state, to move from generation to from depravity to regeneration, cross that state line of the power of God. God moves you. I do think that to go from the state of regeneration to the state of conversion also takes an act of God. But you also, because you're born of the Spirit, now have an ability that you did not have in the state of depravity. But God is also active in the conversion of His people. That's what I believe. To go from the state of conversion one state over, that's all you and me. God doesn't pick you up and move you across the state line into blindness. What really happens is we move there ourselves. God's not making people become blind to the truth in Christ. Truth is, we move there ourselves. Now you think, why would anybody? Good grief! You live in the state. You live in the kingdom. Why would you then go one state over into the state of being asleep or being blind, not being able to see what you are in Christ? You see, that's what the Pharisees were. They couldn't see. They were going to establish their own righteousness. And what they saw, the way they looked at the world, and they saw themselves in the mirror. What they saw was, all put together, hair looks nice, breath is fresh, smells real good. You know, I got this thing. You know, Christ called them whited sepulchres.
Right.
That on the outside, you're all white, buddy. You look great. On the inside, you're dead man's bones. See, their vision of themselves was not honest.
Right.
That's another way of saying blind. Blind could be you can't see what's there. That's normally what we think about blind. You know, you don't have any sight. You can't see what's there. So you have to feel around to get around. You have to have a walking stick. You need those aids to get around because you can't see what's there. Another way to think of blindness is you see something that's not really there. When you see something that's not really there, that's just another way to say blind. It's just sort of in a different perspective, different way to look at it, so to speak. And that's what they were blind, the Pharisees were, because when they looked in the mirror, they saw these things, these whited cups. They saw it all white and beautiful, and they weren't honest. What Christ saw was on the inside, your dead man's blind. Why would anybody living in the kingdom pick up and move across state lines into a state of spiritual blindness? Why would anybody do that? Because just looking at it from that perspective seems ridiculous. Seems silly. Why would anybody do that? Why would someone move from a good place to a bad place? And the answer is nobody just does it in one day. Nobody just picks up and moves the state of blindness in one day. Really, it's more like if you, instead of living in a house and you pack up all your stuff, it's more like you're living in a tent. And you're living in that tent, and one day you move your tent about 8 feet towards the state line. You're still in the state of conversion, but you're just a little bit closer to the state line. And then maybe 2 weeks later, because you know you're busy in life and it's hard to get to church, and you know you just decide I can't make it today, or your best friend invites you to go play golf and you miss, and so now your tent is 8 more feet towards the state line. Nobody does it in one day. Nobody does it in one day. It takes a while, and before you know it, you're a long ways away from where you started.
Right.
And you're blind. And you can't see far off. Or to say it another way, you're asleep. And the only way that a person like that is going to wake up is if now God comes and wakes them up. You can talk. You can cajole. You can reason. It does, because they're asleep. They're blind. They don't see it anymore. And that's the saddest thing. That's the saddest thing.
That's right.
To not see things the way they really are. Hmm. And another part of this is sometimes people want to be seen in a way they're not. This is what the Pharisees were. They were blind. They looked at themselves as all put together. They I'm not sick. I don't need a physician. The people around Christ knew they were sick. I'm not messed up. I'm just fine. And so they looked at themselves as holier than what they actually were. That's how they saw themselves. And sometimes you might run into somebody who tries to act like they're the holiest creature that ever walked the face of the earth. Sometimes, honestly, probably in my pride, that's how I try to present myself. Not true. Total lie. Total lie. The other thing that people do sometimes is, you might think this is really strange, but I think I see it quite a bit. Is that here is the child of God living in the state of conversion. They're in the kingdom. God has given them this special gift. And as I've said, one temptation is to just, you know, I don't want to hang out with somebody because they don't. I'm not talking about hanging out with somebody who is dragging you down. I'm talking about I'm talking about viewing people as less worthy of the kingdom simply because they are honest and that they're messed up. And so sometimes the child of God living in the kingdom will want to be that way. They'll be blind in that way. Honestly, it's true that sometimes people are blind in the other way. That sometimes a child of God will try to appear to be less righteous than they actually have been made in Christ. And that's just as blind, just a different direction. Sometimes people get around other people and they want to be friends and impress people who are really about as Esau as you can get. And when you're around people like that, to present yourself as someone who is a sinner saved by grace will bring condemnation upon you. It'll bring ridicule. It'll bring estrangement. You'll be made fun of if you say, you know, maybe we ought not to use those words. Maybe we ought to tell jokes like that. Maybe we ought not to talk like that. Maybe we ought not to look at that. And if you act like that, then you realize because of the people that you are around that you will be condemned for that opinion, that behavior. And therefore, sometimes God's children try to act like they're full of dead men's bones when really in Christ they're actually whited sepulchres.
That's right.
Well, I shouldn't say that right. they're actually cleansed in Christ, but they try to act like they're as filthy as the world. Mm-hmm. And as in both cases, you're blind. And if you go that direction, it's easier to go that direction if you go that direction once. And now you've moved your tent not towards the state of blindness, although you're kind of in that direction. You've kind of moved your tent towards depravity, even though you'll never get there. Sometimes a child of God, seems crazy, but sometimes a child of God wants to act like they're living in the state of depravity when they're actually not.
Right.
Because of the people around them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, David, in the heinous sin that he committed, for a long time was blind. He didn't see reality for what it was. You think, why didn't David at any point right in there, why didn't he stop? When, you know, the thing with Bathsheba happened, why didn't he stop? When he tried to cover it up and that didn't work, why didn't he stop? And good grief, getting Uriah the Hittite murdered, why didn't he stop? He's blind. He doesn't see the way things are. And so it is that to move your tent towards blindness, to go out and try to, you know, do whatever, instead of regarding the gift that God gave you, to cherish it for what it is, that as you move that tent in one direction, it's easier to move it the next time and the next time. And here are people in the Romans chapter 11 who are living under that. And honestly, I think that's the worst state to live in. You know, if you're in the state of depravity, that's where you want to be. And you'll never want to get out till God moves you. You may not like your neighbor, but you're not completely unhappy, I guess I could say it that way. The depraved person wants depravity. They want their sin and they desire that sin. They don't want the love of God. They don't want to submit to the will of God. They don't want to love their neighbor. They don't want to do that. State of regeneration, you're in that state and you live there. You've been moved there. You don't have the understanding. There's something out there. There's a truth that's out there about Christ and redemption in Christ, but you don't know it's there. You've been regenerate. You just don't see that. Then when you're in the kingdom, you have received the fullest extent of blessing that God will give to a person in this life. To be regenerate and in the kingdom of Christ, you don't get a better spiritual state than that.
Right.
This is the pinnacle. And you may look around and say, this is not all that great. I promise you, it is.
Amen.
That what I'm standing here and fumbling over my words and probably a weird accent from Texas and all of that that goes into it, that's not what makes it great. What makes it great is the understanding that Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He spread His hands, they drove those nails through His hands, through His feet, spirit aside, and He gave Himself before the Father to become the sin bearer of your sins, of things that you do in 2018 and I do in 2018, that those things went all the way back. And they were on Him on that day. And when Amen. He did that, you're wiped clean. There is no more liberty than that.
Right.
That you are completely freed by Christ. And there's nothing left to do. So live your life in joy and peace with that knowledge. That's the pinnacle. There is no greater explanation. No one's going to come up with a better explanation.
Amen.
The salvation of depraved men and women than that.
Amen.
Nothing left to add. And so you think someone living with that understanding, it's been paid for. And I don't care what you do, what happens, that does not alter your salvation in Christ. I don't need to stand here and give the caveat of, yeah, but if you do something tomorrow, you know, you can't go and sin. If, you know, like I'm saved by grace, I can go and sin. I can do whatever I want this afternoon. I always say I can drink a 12-pack before sundown if I want to. You know, if that's the way you think, your heart's not in the right place.
Amen.
That's the way you think. But the truth is that no matter what the child of God does, whatever sin he or she commits, that was on Christ and that's wiped away. And nobody's going to come up with some new book that they found in some cave in the Middle East that's going to add to the understanding of what Jesus Christ did. That's the pinnacle.
Right.
Man, if you've been up there and now you're back down in the swamp. The contrast is so sad. You would never be happy. The child of God trying to be holy in themselves, holier than thou, as Isaiah says, trying to be all white and be something, trying to be something other than a sinner saved by grace, you'll never be happy with that.
Right.
You will never get spiritual satisfaction from that. At the same time, if you try to be like the world, if you try to be like people you think are cool or popular, and you're trying to be like them and you're trying to hide what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and made you on the inside, if you're trying to hide that, you will never be happy. You will always be dissatisfied with the way things are, and because you're living in the saddest state of all, the state of someone who has been given this precious gift and is not regarding it as a precious gift. Today, I fear myself. The greatest fear I had when I was ordained to the ministry was that one day I would be like King Saul. You know, I'd want to do something, and I'd know a feeling in my heart, but I'd want to do it, and I'd do it. And the Lord would say, okay, Mark, that's the way you want to go with your ministry. You go right ahead. And I would have to do this life that, I would have to live this life that is sometimes very hard because of what Brother Craig said. As ministers, we're expected to be the most merciful and the most gracious. And sometimes that's no fun to do, and I don't want to do that, to be honest. And I fear having to live that kind of life and try to be that kind of person, and a person who stands before the Lord's people and preaches the Scriptures, and then fear of turning around and being someone who lives exactly opposite to what I said 30 minutes ago. And the truth is, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm saved by grace, but I'm still a sinner. And I fear trying to live this life by myself without the help of God, because to do that seems to me to be utter despair. And so I fear constantly myself. And I wonder, you know, if I picked up my stakes and moved them 8 feet. Am I like Lot? I look down there and I think, man, the plain around Sodom and Gomorrah, boy, that's the greenest, luscious land in this part of the country. I think that's what I'll take. And then I go down there, and of course, you know Lot. Next thing you know, he's actually living in the city. Blindness is something that is true and real. In fact, I think many, many of the Lord's people today are as blind as they can possibly be. I think they're probably born of the Spirit. I see some evidence of that in certain people. But when it comes to true understanding and spiritual things and kneeling before Jesus Christ and devoting themselves, don't get it in the least. And I think that's just because of the way culture is. There's a lot more stuff out there today to draw you out of here on a Sunday morning.
Right.
You know, golf courses are all green. If that's your thing, I hope that you play golf on Sunday morning instead of coming to church. Every single golf ball you hit goes in the water. I hope it costs you $150 to play golf that day. But, you know, I'm not a big golfer. But, hey, there's other things that allure me. And, you know, maybe today you just don't do that today. And to be that way, to be allured by the world, that there are so many temptations and so many people, frankly, just do go ahead and succumb to that. And by and by, it doesn't take a month, 2 months, 6 months. It seems like those people are totally asleep.
Yeah.
I can't wake them up.
No.
But all I can do is try to say, no matter how many people are in here, no matter how popular what we have appears to be, that does not diminish the richness of it.
Amen.
You have Jesus Christ took your sins, and they're gone. They're gone. And there's not to be born again. So I pray that as we sort of stand at the Four Corners Monument, we see all of these four different states that we've tried to look at this morning, that we can look at the state of depravity and thank God we're not there. Just look at the state of generation and regeneration and feel the Spirit in our hearts and thank God that He's put us in that state. To have an understanding not only our hearts but also our minds of what the Savior did. And we've got this book that can then refresh our minds on a constant basis. Listen, if you're trying to keep from moving to the state of blindness, if you decide this morning, I think Brother Mark is right, and you're trying to keep your tent in the same place, and you're doing it without reading this book, by the simple neglect of this book, you think you're not actively moving your tent, you are moving your tent. You can't cherish the gift of Christ and being in the kingdom without Amen. Being a regular reader of this book. You just can't. That's true for you. That's also true for me.
Right.
It's true for every single one of us. And as we see these four spiritual states and thanking Christ for being in His kingdom and having what we have, that what we can do is rejoice, but also understand that the responsibility falls upon us as an individual child of God to cherish it, to understand it, to stand for it, and to keep our tent firmly staked in the kingdom. And if you do so, God is not unfaithful to acknowledge your labor of love.
Amen.
The Lord will bless you with more blessings, and you'll be blessed 30 years from now in a way in the kingdom that you're not being blessed today, because He'll bless your faithfulness.
Right.
Thank you for your attention.
Amen.